Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Holy crap.
Wait a second.
Holy crap. Kenny Pickett has just been traded to the Eagles.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What is going on?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Russell Wilson, the starter. Who's his backup now?
But I can't see myself playing in another place. But
today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick, CBS college basketball reporter Seth Davis, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm back in the chair. I want to thank Susie and Kirk Morrison for being here on Thursday and Friday so I can have a bit of a walkabout on my own. Good to have everybody back here as one big happy Rich Eisen Show family on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners out there getting ready to listen to us whenever you darn well please for three straight hours. We appreciate everybody listening to us and watching us, whether you pick up some of the clips on the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is the Roku channel way of making sure that everybody can get a video on demand service. There's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show is the way to subscribe and keep up to speed on everything. Over 733,000 subscribers. We love each and every one of you. Good to have everybody here, whether you're calling in right now as well at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I've got brackets right here in my hand. There's a men's NCAA bracket. There's a women's tournament out there as well now. Brackets, as March Madness is going to be in full swing later on this week. Seth Davis of CBS and the family of networks that carries the men's NCAA tournament will be joining us in the middle of this program to let us know who he thinks is going to be cutting down the nets later on in April and in Arizona, and lots to talk about with him. Louis Riddick is going to be first up on this program to talk about all the craziness that went down while I was out of the chair Thursday and Friday and over the weekend. Now that we know who's backing up Russell Wilson, his name is Justin Fields, unless there's going to wind up being a competition. We'll get to that in a second. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
Rich, what's up, man? Did any of our schools make it?
Nope. I didn't.
Mikey?
Did yours?
Nope.
DJ Mikey, D's and D's nuts?
Nope. Negative.
Well,
negative.
Penn State, did Penn State make it?
I mean,
Hold on a minute. Did Georgetown make it?
I can go to either.
Okay,
of those,
no. Or no. Did.
Pitt didn't make it, no.
But, you know, who did make it? Duke.
Yeah. Duke's made it.
Good to see you over there, TJ right. Jefferson.
What's up, fellas? What's cracking?
What's up, TJ?
Welcome back, Rich.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you welcoming me back on this program. Hey, listen, today is March 18th. It was just 1 month ago when on this very program, we had Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on because I saw what he had written over the weekend.
And he loves suits.
Well, he didn't write that.
Oh.
He wrote over the weekend, prior to us having him on, President's Day weekend, I might add, he wrote that the Pittsburgh Steelers were committed to giving Kenny Pickett a third season as the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were committed to giving him a full season as the starter and were even thinking about bringing Mason Rudolph back and having a quarterback competition. Because he apparently wasn't opposed to returning the Steelers after finishing up strong and getting the Steelers in the playoffs. Operating the offense in a way that Pickett didn't before he got hurt, and then Mitchell Trubisky did not while filling in for the hurt Pickett. And that they were not interested in veteran quarterbacks elsewhere. Quote, that would include Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins and probably even Russell Wilson, who has a connection with the Steelers, is what Jerry wrote. And we had Jerry on. Now we're going to have Jerry back on today. He's in the third hour of this program because, boy, did the Steelers reverse course. Because Jerry's not just making stuff up out of thin air. He has been covering the Steelers forever and a day. And he knows what their thinking was. And their thinking was, we're not going for Kirk Cousins because they weren't paying him all the cash that Atlanta was paying him. And maybe at the time they weren't going for Justin Fields because don't forget, when the season ended and we knew the Bears had Caleb Williams as the possible next quarterback of the Chicago Bears because they own the first overall pick again, making Justin Fields expendable again. And how this time, because of how good Caleb Williams is, I think Justin Fields was going to be traded. That's what we're all talking about. Don't forget, at that time, we were all talking about Atlanta being a destination for him and how Atlanta might flip the eighth overall pick in the draft to Chicago for Justin Fields. The eighth overall pick in the draft.
That's a long time
ago. Is what
ago.
Was being discussed at the time amongst all of us who supposedly know things. Okay?
That seems so funny now.
Why would the Steelers cough up the 20th overall pick in the draft for Justin Fields when they could eventually flip a sixth round draft choice for him that could go up to a fourth round draft choice if he has 51% of the snaps in the upcoming season? But guess what? When this trade got pulled off over the weekend, it was to supposedly get a backup for Russell Wilson. So the Steelers took the quarterback room of Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph and turned it into the quarterback room of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And all it cost them was $1.2 million for Russ, who wasn't, again, on their radar screen of being in of interest to the Steelers on President's Day weekend because, A, he was still a member of the Broncos. B, we all assumed he wouldn't be a member of the Broncos much longer. But C, did they really think, did everybody think for sure they would just cut him? Well, it did seem likely at the time, but it did in fact happen. And so they sign Russell Wilson for the league minimum, $1.2 million, and get Justin Fields for a third day draft choice. And by the way, not for this year either. It's for next year. Doesn't cost them a single piece of draft capital this year to get Justin Fields. It's a potential sixth, turns into a fourth next year. And he's on the docket for $3 million and change this year. So the quarterback room of Russ and Justin Fields combine the cost together. The number starts with a four. Except there's not seven zeros after it like the four has in New York for Daniel Jones. It's 4 point whatever and change for this quarterback room. And to the Steelers, you got to go, great job.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's kind of low risk. Even if they pick up Justin Fields' option, fifth year option, which they have to do by May 2nd, and they will do, that's 20 some odd million and change there. Put it together, and you've got Russ and Justin Fields together for this year, and then just one more. The cost of them together is about $30 million over 2 years. How many quarterback rooms are, I mean, think about it this way. Taylor Heineke is backing up Kirk Cousins. Do you know how much money he's going to cost? About $7 million. Taylor Heineke is going to be wearing a headset and a clipboard in his arms for $7 million. That's double the cost of the entire Steelers quarterback room. Why wouldn't the Steelers take this roll of the dice? Because it is that. It is that. I mean, we all know Russ had a Hall of Fame resume and still does and has an opportunity if he does what he can do in Pittsburgh. If he did in Seattle what he did and can bring that game to Pittsburgh, and they're going to be running a ball just like they did in Seattle, and they're going to be doing play action just like they did in Seattle, and they're going to play defense just like they did in Seattle. It's set up for Russ to play action and go up top to somebody like George Pickens. It's set up for us to do the Seattle things. It's set up. So there's that. But that Russ hasn't shown up in about 4 years with consistency. So there's that. And Justin Fields is going to be sitting there as well. And these two guys together, whether you call this a quarterback stat or not, the worst quarterback record in the NFL since 2021 belongs to Justin Fields, 10-28. The second worst record belongs to Zach Wilson. How great was that 2021 quarterback class, huh? And third is Russ. In terms of most sacks taken, you know how Russ, we've been saying, he takes way too many sacks. Way too many. 133 since 2021. Whew. Only one quarterback's been sacked more. It's Justin Fields.
Yeah.
135. The only quarterbacks to lose 25 or more games and win fewer than 20 since 2021 as starters. Let me repeat that. You've lost more than 25 and you've won less than 20. There's only two quarterbacks. It's the Steelers quarterback room. Fields at 10-28, Russell in 17-27. They also lead the league in many people saying it's not their fault. It's the fault of everything around them. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. Crazy thing, though, and this is the other thing you just can't make up. Because let's not forget, again, over President's Day weekend, Steelers were like, it's Pickett's gig. And we're going to get Mason Rowe. We're going to run it back. We're going to run it back. And
we're not signing a veteran.
And we're not signing a veteran. And we're bringing in Arthur Smith to figure this thing out. This is what we're going to do. This is what the plan is. And now here he is, snap, smash cut to a month later. And it's Russ and it's Fields. Two names in Jerry Dulac's story that they were not interested in. Okay? So keep that in mind. Understood. Check that box. I get it. But this is totally, completely unexpected, is that Russ is being given the courtesies extended to quarterbacks that have normally been on the team for 7 days. I mean, for 7 years, not 7 days. Okay, put up the first one here. Tom Pelissero, over the weekend, once Fields was acquired, asked the question, is there a competition between Russ and Justin? One source just texted, Russ is the starter. Ian Rappaport saying this a day later, that when the trade for Fields went down, Mike Tomlin reached out to Russ while the trade was going down to let him know he was the starter. Tom Pelissero said it last night, according to Ian, and Tomlin views that as the plan. Fields will compete regardless. Not just that either. Jerry Dulac, who I can't wait to chat. Boy, we got a lot to talk about, and it's got nothing to do with suits. Talking about, you know, the obvious, how he signed a one-year contract for the veteran minimum because the Broncos are paying him $39 million for the rest of 2024. But Wilson and the Steelers intend to do a longer deal at the end of the season, per sources. It's like, whoa. It's crazy that a team goes from we're not interested to, well, we're interested in having a long-term deal with a guy who's got the most dead cap money on the ledger of the last team that he was with in the most in the history of the NFL. This just doesn't compute. It doesn't compute at all. And I will admit fully, you know I like being right, right more than almost anything, correct?
I think we all
okay.
do.
Okay, so this is going to be tough for me to say, boy, was I wrong.
I was right.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, well, Pickett's not going to just be watching his job be given away to Russ coming off of the last 3 years when they think so much of Pickett, they were considering just not even bringing in Russ. So this is not going to be a coronation. There's going to be a competition. Well, everything's saying the reason why Pickett got shipped out is he was so upset with Russell Wilson's arrival that he acted so adversely that he got the gate. Because Tomlin says he doesn't want hostages. He wants volunteers. So out the door he goes across the state to Philadelphia where he has hardly any chance of starting. Because apparently they told Pickett, Russ is getting the first team reps. So after the last 3 years, Russell Wilson gets to go to a spot where he is given first team reps right off the bat. He's being told he's the starter when they bring in somebody 10 years younger than him who has a much better chance of, instead of taking a sack, ripping one off for 50 yards than Russ does.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the kid who's going to have a fifth-year option of $20-something million picked up, he's just going to be installed as the backup, period, with no competition, and with an intention of signing him long-term at the end of the season before he's even taken one practice rep. This is truly one of the most remarkable achievements of Russell Wilson's career.
Black and gold. Here we go.
I'm serious. I didn't give him much of a chance to be in a spot where he could potentially compete for the job. And now he's not even in a competition for the job. And they're already looking down the road to keep him there forever? The rest of his career? Hey, man, Russell Wilson and his agent did some work, and it all started with him showing what it's all about for him when he flew through Newark Airport. I'm telling you, that showed the fortitude and moxie that only can lead to somebody telling the Pittsburgh Steelers, these aren't the quarterbacks you're looking for. Like a full Obi-Wan mind trick. Those other quarterbacks are not what you're looking for. You're looking for me. I will get the first team reps. I will have Kenny Pickett sent to Philadelphia. I will have Justin Fields welcomed as a backup. And I will get a long-term deal as your intention. Wild turn of events. So, Jerry Dulac, bring him to me, hour three, please. We've got lots to talk about. I didn't even talk about the Bears side of this. I will do so. There's an Overreaction Monday segment coming up. Hour number two, Seth Davis walks us through his brackets and why the brackets were made the way they were. But coming up next, can't wait to talk about all this with a guy I love to talk ball with, Lewis Riddick. What does he think of the Steelers doing what they have done to their quarterback room? That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly. From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So, again, quarterback stats, you think of touchdowns and, you know, completion percentage, et cetera, yards. Wins, folks don't usually throw in there because it's a team game. And, you know, say, again, the first game of the year for the Jets this year, for instance. You know who won that game? He got the win on that on his win-loss mark? Aaron Rodgers got the win because he started. I think the NFL should just change the stat to if whoever has the most snaps in the game should get the win or the loss, right? Don't you think?
Sure.
So Justin Fields has the worst winning percentage of any quarterback with a minimum of 30 starts since 2021. Zach Wilson is second. Russell Wilson is third. You know who's fourth? It's Trevor Lawrence, 20 and 30. And, you know, obviously the Urban Meyer year is a large reason why. But you can't sit here and say the 2021 quarterback class is anything but a complete and total unmitigated disaster at this point in time. Trevor Lawrence still has the ability that I think everyone expects him to bring Jacksonville to different heights. And he did take them to the division round, despite having one of the worst first halves of a playoff start.
Seeing what some of these other guys are getting, someone should have called Jacksonville and been like, hey, fourth round pick for Trevor Lawrence?
That won't be happening. But Justin Fields goes for a sixth in 2025. Zach Wilson is still a Jet because they don't want to release him. And
nobody's offering.
No one's going to give him a damn thing for him. Mac Jones went for a sixth. Good Lord. And Trey Lance, as we all know, has been a Cowboy for a year now.
Yep.
Going for a fourth. So, the 2021 quarterback class, first round. Oy. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of our favorites to talk ball with from the worldwide leader in sports from ESPN, Louis Riddick, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm just kind of stunned on the sort of un-Steeler-like maneuvers that we're seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers to go out and bring in two quarterbacks from outside of the organization. But these are also smart plays, right? Russ only costs them $1 million and change. Justin Fields is a third-day draft choice in next year's draft. And even if they pick up his fifth-year option, you put all the figures together and you've got a quarterback room of Russ and Justin Fields for two seasons for one and one season for the other for $30 million combined, which is a remarkable number. How do you see this all playing out, though, Louis?
Yeah, you know, I think Mike really would like for Russell to play winning football in terms of playing on time, on schedule in Arthur Smith's new offense, relying on the run game, opportunistic deep shots, the occasional ad lib off schedule, let Russ cook type of throw, and allow this team to be able to always be there in the fourth quarter, win double digit games, contend for the division title, get into the playoffs, and then let Mike do what he does, which is coach this team up, play great defense, special team. And the next thing you know, maybe they're challenging in the divisional championship type of round, maybe, you know, that kind of scenario. I think that's what he would envision, while at the same time having Justin learn from a pro like Russell. Maybe they do develop a package of plays for Justin to where, you know, it is a quote unquote two quarterback system where he, because I don't think you trade for Justin in order for him to just sit on the bench. I don't think that, and don't have any kind of developmental plan for him at all. To me, it does seem like now the thing that kind of throws a wrench into all this, and you know, we talked about this offline a little bit, is the fact that look, they uncharacteristically seem to be, from the outside looking in, going out of their way to assure Russ, hey, no, you're the quarterback. You're the guy that we, you know, you're the guy who's going to be the starter. Now we'll assure you that you're going to, and then you hear these reports about maybe them already talking about extending Russell beyond this year, which is like, to me, look, if I'm there right now, if I'm Omar Khan, if I'm talking to Mike Tomlin, I'm going, I'm not guaranteeing him anything. I'm not guaranteeing anybody anything other than, okay, you know what? For the sake of having a depth chart, we're going to line up. Russ, you're going to be the starter. Justin, you're going to be the backup. But we're going to let you guys go for it now. Because the reason why I traded for you, Justin, is obviously, yeah, the market came to us. We played it perfectly. We knew that Ryan was going to try and Depp and Ryan Poles was going to try and do good by you. We know that every day that we waited, the price was coming down right back to us. It was a buyer's market. Look, that's this business, man. And we're good businessmen here in Pittsburgh. So for us to get you for not necessarily you're telling this, but for us to get you for a conditional sixth in next year's draft, yeah, we're glad that Ryan wanted to do right by you. For us, it's good business. But this guy's a former number one pick, first round pick, who we have seen subjectively progress and start to make strides,
mm-hmm.
start to take strides in his development to the point where. From a pure quarterbacking standpoint, his ceiling is much higher than Russell's at this point in time. We know that. And here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Before people want to jump on Justin's ass and say, he has already shown us what he is, you're lying. And you know you're lying. And you know it's not true. Do not selectively apply that whole, well, you know what? I'll selectively apply when we think that the structure and the surroundings affected a guy and when we don't. Because you know the structure and the surroundings affected his development. You know it wasn't the same as what Patrick Mahomes was or Jordan Love's was or what Philadelphia did for Jalen Hurts. We know it's not the same. So don't say, well, it doesn't really matter because we just think he sucks because we saw what his quarter, you know, what his win-loss record is and what his QBR. Don't do that. What he gets to kind of operate with now is the best situation he's ever been able to operate with. So with that being known, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm saying this. Russell, you start. Justin, you're backing up. But we're letting this thing play out. And there are no guarantees being given to anyone. That's why it shocks me a little bit that it seems like this is Russ's team all of a sudden. All of a sudden, it's here come all the Russell, you know, Pittsburgh Nation, and this is going to be this. I've had enough of that. And I love Russ, but I've had enough of that. I think he's at a point in time in his career where, yeah, he's a borderline Hall of Famer based on what he's done in the past. He's had some great seasons. He's a Super Bowl winner and a play away from being another Super, from winning another one. But at this point in time, given what I've seen Justin overcome, and what I've seen Russ do in the past and what I've seen him do recently, this right now is a competition. That's what I think I would be advocating for if I was there. And I would be fine with that. And I think the players would be fine with that. Because neither one of them at this point in time deserves the benefit of the doubt of any assurances of anything at this point in time, especially going to a new football team.
I'm with you, Lewis. And let's have some real talk here. Because if the Russ of the first 8-9 years of his career can reemerge, then mm-hmm. the Steelers have Super Bowl hopes written all over them. Flat out. The mm-hmm. issue is, though, is now kind of 3 years running. His mm-hmm. last year in Seattle, the two in Denver. Every year starts with, okay, let's reset it. You know, Russ was off. Russ, mm. you know, doesn't see the field as well sometimes. And then we don't see the Russ of old show up. Mm. And that's the risk I think the Steelers are undertaking by saying, you're the starter right off the bat. He takes way too many sacks, which for somebody at age 35, it's like you should know better. Fields takes too many sacks because at age 25, he doesn't yet know better. Okay. Yeah. And so that's the sort of thing I'm just wondering, like, why wouldn't you give Fields every opportunity to show that the last 6-7 games of his career in Chicago is now him sort of putting the pieces together, which happens with, say, somebody who's in year 3 at age 25. That's the thing that I'm kind of wondering. So how does that work where you're like, you're the starter and you're backing up and letting it play out? Like, what are the mechanics of that, Lewis?
You know what? We all become kind of prisoners to our own preconceived biases. Okay, so with Russ, right, we're biased to thinking he's got to have some of it left.
Right.
He's got to have – look, I've seen it. I've seen him do those – have those 4, 5, 6 second runaround plays where – and then he makes the dramatic throw. Look, we saw it against Buffalo, right? Up there in Buffalo this year where he threw the touchdown, I believe it was to Cortland Sutton in the back left corner of the end zone where you're sitting there going, I mean, damn, that doesn't look like Russ from Seattle. That's what I'm talking about. We've seen him play on schedule. We've seen what it looks like in a nice structured format to where, one, he protects the football, two, he makes quick reads, three, he actually even throws the ball over the middle, which some people absolutely hammer him for, that he can't see in the middle of the field, that he has to throw it outside, that the reason why he does have so many off-schedule throws is because of the fact that it doesn't come to him very quickly. So we've seen him kind of do it in spurts, all right? But because of the fact that he has a long history and he is someone who is a borderline Hall of Famer, we give him the benefit of the doubt. We always believe, well, what once was can be again, because we've seen him do it. With Justin, it's, well, no Ohio State quarterbacks ever pan out. They all suck. Look, DJ Stroud had to fight this coming out in the draft last year.
Right.
All of the people right now who are engaging in revisionist history say, oh, I love CJ the whole time. You're full of you're full of it. Because how many people said last year, Ohio State quarterbacks are never any good. CJ didn't perform well in the cognitive testing before the comp, so he's going to be another one of those guys. And then now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I loved him the whole time. Oh, I knew he would be this guy. Well, with Justin, he's fighting those same things. When he came out in the draft, it was some of the same stuff. Now, that's not to say he didn't have things to improve upon, because of course he does. Of course. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Here's the kick. People are acting like he walked into a Kansas City situation where had to sit behind Alex Smith and learn from Andy Reid and Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, and he had this nice, stable, structured situation to where then once he got to play, it kind of took a nice, orderly progression, and they were able to coach some of those things out of him like you were talking about, like holding the ball too long, getting through reads a little bit faster, being a little bit more efficient and smart in situational football, while at the same time accentuating those great legs that he has, the ability to extend plays, the rocket arm that he has, that he showed, all those good things he showed at Ohio State. Now, we know that that wasn't the situation, but what we won't let go of, and by we, I mean the general consensus here when looking at this situation, what we won't let go of is what Russ was and what we think Justin is already. We won't let go of it. We have to see it first. But people don't want to even give Justin a chance to basically prove to them that he can be someone who is continuing to ascend in terms of his development. We don't even want to give him that chance.
Well, the question I have, Lewis, is how do you do it in Pittsburgh if you're going to give first team reps to Russ? You know what I mean? Like,
that's a great question.
So I
don't know.
What happens if the Russ that struggles to get first downs, or the Russ that takes too many sacks, the Russ that has, does have those magic moments in the fourth quarter? Because I saw it too, calling his last game as a Bronco on Christmas Eve, where, you know, fourth quarter they needed points fast, and he just started playing fast, and he started playing, old Russ ball. I mean, it's there, but what happens if, you know, you're 2-4? Does Tomlin just stick with Russ out of loyalty because he got there first by a week? Like, that's the thing I don't understand with some of the language.
I have a hard time believing that he would do that.
Right.
I really do. I have a hard time looking. I don't know. Look, maybe, you know, Mike may be playing everybody. Or the news, so to speak, coming out of Pittsburgh may be just, hey, look, man, we can tell them whatever. I'm not going to really tell them what I'm thinking. He may be thinking, listen, of course, we have to start. We have to formulate a depth chart.
Yeah.
But we're going to give Justin plenty of opportunities here to go ahead and run this new offense that Arthur is putting in, which really should suit both Justin and Russ.
Right.
It really should accentuate both of their, you know, of their skill sets while trying to minimize many of their weaknesses by leaning on the run game, leaning on the play action pass game, and let the best man win. I really do hope that those are the conversations that are actually going on behind closed doors, and that when, as Mike likes to say, when the rubber meets the road, that the best man does play, because they don't owe either one of them anything at all. And it does shock me to hear, whether it's true or not, you know, the reports of Mike calling Russ to assure him that he's the starter, although that they're trading for Justin Fields. The one thing, though, like right now I'm trying to figure out exactly what is going on is, look, listen, and I know people are going to say, look, stop being a homer, stop defending Kenny Pickett and all this other BS. But look, from what I know of Kenny Pickett, Kenny has never run from a challenge a day in his life, okay? But something pissed him off to the point where he felt as though, look, I'm not necessarily, I don't believe, being really given a true chance to compete for this job. Otherwise, why the hell does he want out of there? Like, I think he felt as though people turned their back on him and that this was going to be a situation where Russ would have to basically, like, absolutely stink up the joint in order for him to get back in there and really get a chance to earn the job again. And so, I don't know, maybe there are people in the Pittsburgh organization who really do feel that this is the perfect place for Russ, that Arthur Smith is the perfect perfect play caller for Russell Wilson. But I would let this thing play out. I really would. And I hope, knowing Mike the way I do and the time that I've spent with him and, you know, and what I believe him to be in terms of a head coach and someone who was the ultimate leader and team builder, that he'll do what's best for this football team based upon what happens on the field and not what Russ has done in the past and not what Justin has done in the past, but what they do in the present as they're trying to take this offense to another level. Because really, Rich, there's a lot of good things going on with them offensively from a personnel perspective. There really is.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at it, a quarterback should be set up to succeed in this offense if Arthur can get it all going and they can keep all these guys together. Because he was a hell of a play caller when he was in Tennessee. He did wonders for Ryan Tannehill when he stepped in there after they benched Marcus, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago when he was in Tennessee, 5 years ago. I believe it was the 2020 season, I remember, 2019-2020 season, around there. And if he can get these guys going, this should be a fun offense to watch. This really should be a run, deep shot, play action, passing game. George Pickens should absolutely go nuts in this offense, and so should Pat Freiermuth. And the running game should really start clicking. And these quarterbacks, this should be an exciting time, not one of those times where it's just like, well, we just have to wait for Russ to mess it up in order to see Justin. No, it should not be presented that way, and it should not play out that way.
Well, in my mind. And I'm sure Tomlin will make sure that's not the case. Before I let you go, Lewis Riddick, the let's just get your 2 cents on the other side of this equation, which is when you want to set your rookie quarterback up for success and also make sure he's fully evaluated at the professional level in his first full season, so you know you got the pick right. I don't believe that's going to be necessary for Caleb Williams in Chicago, regardless. But that said, I mean, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore at your wide receivers and DeAndre Swift leading a running back room and Cole Kmet at tight end in a defense that is young and is ball hawking and is coached well by Eberflus, that can get you the ball back and maybe give you short fields. I mean, is this one of the best setups for a rookie quarterback you've seen in a while, or what, Lewis?
Yeah, Ryan Poles is doing some work. He's done some work for sure. Now, the most important part of it all, make sure he's protected.
Yep.
Shane Waldron, new offensive coordinator, make sure he's protected. Make sure that group of five up front is solidified. Make sure they are like fingers in a glove. Make sure they're all tied together, as Joe Bugle used to say, a parade of elephants. Make sure it is nice and secure and sound up there. Help Caleb get to the point where things happen on time for him, so it doesn't have to look like 2023 SC, where every single play is Madden, you know, 24. And let the guy, and so the kid doesn't take a beating and just, hey, distribute, man. You've got some tremendous playmakers. Yeah, this is pretty exciting for Chicago. Pretty exciting for the fan base. Pretty exciting for the guys that they brought in there already. I would be excited to play with a young man like Caleb Williams, and I would want to help him come along because he is very, very talented. Very talented. He just needs to learn that the pro game is not the Pac-12 game. The hits are a little bit different, you know, in the NFC North than they are in the Pac-12. We're looking for longevity. We're looking for a nice steady incline in terms of your ascension as it relates to your development. We don't need you to come out of the gates making plays like you had to make at SC. They do that. This team, is the future looks very bright. It looks very bright for him and for this football team. And you have to, hey, I know people are right now, they are railing on Ryan Poles for not waiting it out and keeping Justin around, letting those two compete, and they're being soft and players are soft. It's like shut up with all that. He did the right thing. He honored his word, number one. Number two, it may not have been the best business move, but it was the right team-building move to clear the decks for Caleb or Jaden or whoever else is coming in there and let them hit the ground running. I'd be excited if I was Chicago Bear, if I was a Chicago Bear fan, for sure.
I mean, the two most, obvious words for me to follow up on from that very well thought out and delivered soliloquy, Lewis, is or Jaden. What? Or Jaden? Yeah. Come on now. You think?
No. Look,
really?
I maybe not for them. For me, look, you know, we talked about this last year. We've talked a long time, a lot about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Last year when it was consensus that Bryce Young was number one.
I'm with you. I hear you, right?
And we talked about it. It is consensus right now, pretty much, that Caleb Williams is number one. I like Jaden Daniels, number one. And that's not enough. That doesn't mean I have to hate the other guy. But I like how this guy plays in structure. I like how this ball attacks all three levels of the field and how he sees the field and how he throws the football and how he runs the football and how he makes other people better and how what I have heard he is like from a football horsepower intelligence standpoint, how he handles his business off the field and handles distractions and is able to still keep it all going the way it needs to go. And I'll tell you what, after those two, from what I hear, man, Rich, it's getting
say
real
it.
Interesting.
Say it. Say it.
Real interesting,
say
you know
it.
Your guy,
say it.
Your guy up there in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
I know they're not playing any football games right now. And maybe, you know, and this is kind of like the wrong way to maybe to frame this meeting, like J.J. McCarthy's stock is rising. I think his stock has always been there.
Yeah.
It's that now everyone else is hearing about it and going, what? How is the stock rising up? No. There's been people who have been really high on this guy from the get-go. So it's going to be interesting at number this third quarterback.
Oh yeah,
is it going to be JJ? Is it going to be Drake? And then of course, where does Bo go? Where does Michael Penix go? This is going to be a fun, fun draft. Right out of the gate, it's going to be fun.
Lewis, you're the best. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. As always, make us smarter and love talking ball with you. Thanks again.
You bet. Thank you.
You got it. At L Riddick ESPN, he's a must follow. Certainly when he's dueling all those folks on the X machine would tell him what he should know. And he's like, get out of here with this stuff. He must block people like he's Michael Silver on a bad day. All right. Lots to talk about from there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got Seth Davis joining us on the bracketology front in hour two. Don't go anywhere.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Do I call you a free agent quarterback sitting here? What do I call you?
Dak? I don't know. I mean, this is my first time going through this. You tell me. Call me whatever, I guess.
I will call you Dak Prescott.
That works.
I'm going to ask you the question this way about what contract you think you're going to get, okay, in terms of pie. Because I've heard there's less pie. I've heard there's more pie. That's right. There's Jerry Jones right there, the voice of Jerry Jones. We've heard there's less pie. We've heard there's more pie. I'm wondering if you think this is deep dish pie. How deep is it a deep dish pie?
If I'm guessing, I'd say yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it franchise pie?
I would say.
You'd say?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what kind of pie we're talking
franchise
about.
Franchise tag pie. Is it franchise tag pie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean.
Long-term pie? Is it long-term pie?
I don't know. I just want a piece of the pie. Just put it like that.
Okay.
I'm getting hungry, right? I mean,
that's it? Yeah. Okay. Is it a pie that starts with a four? Is it a pie that starts with a four?
Like I just said, I'm leaving up to my agents to cut my piece of the pie. Okay. I'm just ready for it and ready to eat. So
okay.
When that happens, I'm ready to get to work and excited for this offseason.
And we've also heard through DeMarcus Ware told us that when you sit in Jerry's office, have you gotten the Jerry's office meeting yet?
I've been in Jerry's office.
Okay, and that he lights a candle, turns the lights down, and gives you a whole Dallas Cowboys speech. Have you had that? You have not had that yet.
No, okay. I haven't had that one yet.
He says that that happens when he's trying to close a deal. So I think you'll know that you're really close if you
when
walk
the
in.
Lights turn off.
Lights go okay. Down.
Thank you for that that warning and that heads up. So now I know like what's going on when that happens.
There's apparently a votive candle with a Dallas Cowboys star right on the side of it. I don't know if it's scented. It might be the smell of pie of some sort.
Right.
I'm just saying. That hasn't happened yet, is what you're saying.
It hasn't happened.
Okay, when you get that call, you know, wow, I'm close.
Okay.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So if J.J. McCarthy's third overall as Lewis Riddick just said, because I'm hearing the same thing.
A word?
Is that J.J. McCarthy's tape is obviously the same. Nothing's changed other than the fact that they've gotten to meet him and know him and seeing how he plays within structure. Did you hear how Lewis also said that about Jaden Daniels, plays within structure, which is the same thing as that he said about Russell, that you need Russell Wilson to play within structure. Hit the back foot, see it, throw it. Hit the back foot. No, you can't throw it there. Look at two. Throw it there. Not just pull the ball down and start running around and trying to make a play with your legs, even though that does help from time to time. But J.J. McCarthy does play in structure. He really wasn't called to do very much other than play in structure and also no pre-snap. There was a lot of movement. The Wolverines did a whole ton of movement. They put a ton of new plays in from the Big Ten championship game up until the Rose Bowl. And they did a lot of stuff I didn't see before. And he absorbed it within a month and got it done. So, if he moves up to three, that puts him on the radar screen for the Patriots.
Who's taking him?
Maybe New England does.
Maybe the Giants, maybe Minnesota.
So you don't want him, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm kind of more in the maybe we should trade down and accumulate more assets just because the roster's so bad.
I just don't know if we're in the we're bored waiting for the draft and pro days stuff, because you know Caleb's pro day is this week and
right.
Michigan's pro day is Friday.
Okay.
And a lot of pro days are going to happen. And, you know, pro days, we could be sitting here and saying Drake May might fall to the fourth quarterback taken in the draft. And then all of a sudden the North Carolina pro day happens. It's just, oh, look at Drake May throw. And, you know, we might be in that bored period as well where we're grinding
tape. I mean, this happens every year.
Did you see Daniel Jeremiah's tweet in the last hour? That maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. won't be the top quarter of wide receiver taken.
What are we
draft?
Doing?
Well, he's saying that Malik Nabers is electric and cool. And is enough people who like his game more than Marvin's.
You know who I know is going to the Hall of Fame? Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
great.
I mean, what are we doing, TJ?
I said that 6 months ago. The man's statue is already made. Like, the jacket's already been custom stitched. It's going to happen.
It's built.
The bust is already Barrett, Mr. Like, Buswell is already crafting it.
The best team this season, he lit them up in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
This is one of these cases where you just don't overthink it.
But don't
man.
Take the quarterback, though, of the team that overcame the lighting up.
Who,
by the way, in the first game,
wasn't asked to win the game.
Except the first game in Columbus, the one that set everybody's hair on fire that, oh, maybe this isn't just an outlier with Aiden Hutchinson and Hassan Haskins in the snow in Michigan. We'll go into the horseshoe and go vertical. The kid went vertical and did win that game for Michigan. 100%.
Controversially.
100%. But let's, by the way, you must pipe down in this conversation. As much as I love hearing your voice on this program, but excuse me, Notre Dame.
I watched a lot of the game.
Okay, that's right.
He's good, but he's not.
Okay.
I'm with Brock.
I mean, we have no idea if these guys are good. Like, yeah, let's be honest. Like the first round, I think the 2021 draft just showed us this whole thing is a gigantic crapshoot.
That's correct on that front.
I know Marvin Harrison is good, though.
And I know.
I mean, just in terms of the quarterback.
I'm just saying.
Honestly, you look at the Patriots, and they need
everything.
Players.
Yeah.
They need everything, but they need players. They need more than what they've currently got on the board for this draft. So moving from 3 down to 6, so somebody can go up and get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy if they want to go, make sure that they get him. And then all of a sudden, you've got more draft choices in your back pocket than choosing 6th overall.
Think about
and
that.
You can get the other quarterback anyway. Or wind up with Odunze, or one of the top defensive players, or one of the top linemen. You got to consider doing
that.
Got
to think about it, yeah.
100%. Seth Davis coming up hour two.
But.
And plus, you know, the Patriots are putting together a team that's basically a bridge team.
Yep.
This is a bridge team, and you're not used to that. The Patriots fans, you are not used to having a bridge team.
It's a massive rebuild. It's multiple years.
They've got bridge. They got a bridge quarterback. They got bridge receivers.
Yeah.
They got, you know.
Might as well sign Teddy Bridgewater.
Nice. did he retire?
Yeah, he retired.
He's
yeah.
He's coaching, I think, high school now, isn't he?
Is he?
I thought I saw that. So.
I mean, Tom Brady proves you don't know what you're getting. With being picked as high as he was.
Well, I mean,
or low as it was.
I meant high. Low.
The quarterback of
great job, Mike.
No, the quarterback of the last several years. I mean, the quarterback of the 2022 draft is Brock Purdy, last kid in the draft, last kid in the entire draft.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean,
more than 2021 too, right now.
You don't know.
Dude almost won the Super Bowl. So if you got a bridge quarterback, I'm sure KJ Osborne signing, despite. You know, everybody talking about how well he is in the everybody's like, he's great in the slot. And that's just not what you're ready to fill the seats in Foxborough for.
No, that's not.
But you got to try and win enough games this year to stay competitive and figure stuff out.
Yep. Don't want to go 4-13 again. Pretty bad.
So maybe you trade that pick. But we're in that part of the draft conversation that, you know, who the hell knows? Are we just bored, or is this really happening?
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.